So what about Saul? What does this text tell us about radical life change? He stood out. He neared the spot. Number three, he encountered a light. Again, this is all deep stuff here, folks. He encountered a light. Look at the second part of verse 3. And suddenly a light from heaven shone round about him. You cannot explain the moment and the process of salvation. Your spot may be different to my spot. I may be sitting in the bathtub singing the hallelujah chorus when God reveals himself to me, when the light of the world comes upon me. I might be driving down the road in my motor car. I might be climbing a mountaintop. It doesn't matter. But suddenly, God makes himself known. That's why evangelism is not restricted to the four walls of a local church.
Sometimes the word radical is overused, but today Dr. Wilton speaks about radical life change, and you'll hear great truth. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, where the truth is sourced from God's Word, the Bible itself. These Bible-based teachings of Dr. Wilton make up our broadcast, and in every way, we are excited to see what God's going to do in and through His Word in our lives today. As we study the Word, know that we're here for you. We're connecting keyboard to keyboard online right now at tewonline.org. Friends are going ahead and diving into this new leather-bound devotional book that is prepared for 2020. If you haven't seen or heard about it, you can find out more details online at tewonline.org. Or if you're ready to order a copy, call now, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Love to hear from you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
How many of us really, truly, and genuinely believe that there are some people who are beyond salvation? They're too far gone. So could I suggest today that there is possibly a wife sitting here today listening to me that you're saying, yep, that's my husband. I know him, I love him, I've lived with him, but he'll never come to know Christ. Perhaps there's a parent here today, you've got a son or a daughter, and your son, daughter, grew up in a wonderful church and with wonderful ministry, and you look at them today and you say to them, well, here they are 30, 40, 50 years of age, and while I love my son, I love my daughter very much, it's impossible. They are so far away from God, there is no way that God can ever save them. And Greg's whole point last week was nobody is beyond the love of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul's a very good example of that. That's the conversion of Ananias, right? He underwent a change of heart. God did something to Ananias through the testimony of Saul's conversion. And so we come here to what happened to Saul of Tarsus, who became known as Paul. I want to speak to you for a few moments on radical life change. And what I love about this subject is this is your story and my story, isn't it? We all have our story. I can promise you this. When Jesus Christ came into my life, he radically changed my life forever. I've never been the same. I didn't tell you that I was perfect. Because that wouldn't be anywhere near the truth. I didn't tell you that I've never sinned since then, because that would not be true. I wouldn't tell you that I haven't had many struggles, because that wouldn't be true. I wouldn't tell you that I'm living in this world that's filled with ups and downs, because that wouldn't be true. But I can tell you this, that my life has been radically changed. I've never been the same again. You see, my friend, salvation, yes, salvation is about knowing God. It is about being forgiven. Salvation is about having your name written down in God's book in heaven. Salvation is about going to heaven one day and living with Him forever and forever and forever. But I'm going to tell you, salvation at its very root is about a radical life change. It's about never being the same again. You're looking for that, aren't you? You know it. It's deep down inside. It's that struggle. It's that yearning. It's that emptiness. It's that need to be forgiven. It's wanting to know that there's more to life. It's inner joy. It's wholeness. It's completeness. It's strength for the journey. Well, let me read to you what happened to Paul. Here I'm in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, and so that if he found any who were believers who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. And the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So Saul arose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and didn't eat or drink. Now there was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And he said, Rise and go to a street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen a vision. In a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him that he might regain his sight. But Ananias, in disbelief, answered him and said, Lord, are you kidding me? That's my husband you're talking about. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my neighbor. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority even from the church, from the chief priests, to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said to him, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. He rose up and he was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. And can I give you the rest of the book of Acts, even though we're going to continue preaching there? Can I tell you the rest of the story? And Paul, this man, radically changed, was never the same again. By the way, you know, as a pastor, don't you love this? Do you know how many people I have seen, even in this church, give their hearts and lives to Jesus and never be the same again? I remember one wife who is sitting here looking at me right now, and she knows exactly who she is. Steve, this is about 19 years ago. 19 years ago. There's a wife sitting here looking at me. She'll tell you, if she wants to, that it's her. And some of you will know it's her when I tell you. Her husband, she prayed for him for I don't know how many years. I don't want to age him. Finally, he came and sat in this church. And I'll never forget the day he got up and walked down this aisle. Gave his heart to Jesus. And you all, many of you know exactly who I'm talking about. Never been the same again. You can't stop this man. The joy, the serving of the Lord, It's just totally different. Are you ready to be that person? So watch what happened here, because something happened in the life of Saul that was so incredible. I just want to show you what happened. It's amazing. Several things took place. Number one, he stood out. That's what verse 1 of chapter 9 tells us. If you go back into chapter 8, you read about Philip and all these great preachers and what was going on in the church. And there was a lot of action and activity. In fact, the last few verses of chapter 8, they were preaching the gospel. And then you get to chapter 9 and you see these two little words, but Saul. I know this has never happened to you. Have you ever had a Christmas family gathering? And the whole family's there. And everybody's having a wonderful time, excepting who's the person in your family who always finds a problem. Always. You can count on them. Have you ever had just the most wonderful thing? You plan it, you do it, you get together. It's just going wonderful, excepting the one member. They're the one that's got the tummy ache all the time. They're the one who, they don't like biscuits. They prefer their cheese to be this way instead of that way. And not only that, they let you know. Always, you know, the eggs are just a little too hard instead of being a little too soft. I got to check myself on that one too. But Saul, do you know, folks, watch this. You and I can be here today, worshiping here, worshiping in the hangar. We could have hundreds of thousands of people here today, and there could be one but Saul sitting here. And you worth it, because God has got his eyes on you. And we're praying outrageously for you. So he stood out. Number two, he neared the spot. He neared the spot. The Bible says right there in verse 3, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. I don't know how to quite work this out, but I'm convinced that God has us in the right place. Do you know one of the men that I admire most is a fellow by the name of John Langford. John is here today, and we all love John. John is, he inspires me and he inspires all of us. And John owns and operates the Nautilus Fitness Center, where I try to go and from time to time and get myself into shape. But just lay all that aside a moment. Do you know what happened to John? It's going to knock your socks off. Do you know what happened to John Langford? I should get his wife Marilyn to tell you. Many years ago, John, with everything into bodybuilding, all that kind of stuff, and grumbling and groaning, and I'm summarizing, he and his wife get in their motor car, go to Colombia to listen to Dr. Billy Graham preach in the crusade in Colombia. This man who didn't know the Lord, he ends up in the far away in a Billy Graham crusade with thousands of people there, and it's like God says to him, now I've got you in the right spot. And when Mr. Graham stood there and said, I want to invite you to come, wherever you are, I want you to come. I want you to come today and stand here with me. Guess who came down that aisle? A lost man by the name of John Langford. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. He's never been the same again. So what about Saul? What does this text tell us about radical life change? He stood out. He neared the spot. Number three, he encountered a light. Again, this is all deep stuff here, folks. He encountered a light. Look at the second part of verse 3. And suddenly a light from heaven shone round about him. You cannot explain the moment and the process of salvation. Your spot may be different to my spot. I may be sitting in the bathtub singing the hallelujah chorus when God reveals himself to me, when the light of the world comes upon me. I might be driving down the road in my motor car. I might be climbing a mountaintop. It doesn't matter. But suddenly, God makes himself known. That's why evangelism is not restricted to the four walls of a local church.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But we want to say thank you. Dr. Wilton is so appreciative of the way you gave during Giving Tuesday and the way that some of you are actually, as you're Christmas shopping, using the Amazon Smile system that helps give to ministries like ours as you purchase your gifts. The more details are on our website at tewonline.org. We'd love for you to participate with us and partner with us in that particular way. We'd also love for you to know we're here to pray with you. 866-899-WORD will connect you not just now, but 24 hours a day to one of us happy to talk or listen or pray at 866-899-9673. Now let's dive back into today's message on radical life change with Dr. Don Wilton.
Evangelism is every day, every moment, in every place for every person. People coming to know Christ. What happened in the fourth instance? He fell to the ground. That's what verse 4 says. Bible says, and falling to the ground. Now, I want you to listen to me, folks. Falling to the ground is not a necessary prerequisite to salvation. Absolutely not. Now, there may be some people or some groups who say, well, this is what you need to do, and this is how, and you need... Nope. Some of the people who have been radically converted by the Lord Jesus Christ have been cool. I mean, it's every one of us in our own personality disposition. But I tell you what happened to him. The bottom line is, when you encounter the living Lord Jesus Christ, something's going to happen. Coming to know Christ is not trying to make a choice between peanut butter and jelly. It is a radical encounter with the righteousness and the holiness of a God who would love me to the point at which he would send his only son to die upon a cross in order that I, a wretched sinner, might be reconciled to a holy and a righteous God. He fell to the ground. Number 5, he heard a voice. I wish that I could say that I could get up here today and have a whole lot of stories and illustrations of how I've heard God speak. I don't know that I've ever heard an audible, discernible, loud, outspoken voice, but I can tell you I've heard the voice of God. On Wednesday night, God spoke to me and I was sitting right there. Last Sunday, my own son got up here to preach. Was I happy that my son was in the United States? Of course I was. Was I delighted my 3 grandchildren were here? Man, what a total joy. That's what happened to Saul. He heard a voice. Number 6, he answered the Lord. You know, this is so basic. That's what the Word of God says right there in verse 5. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" At the very least, some of you might say to me today, "Pastor, what do I need to do now that I stand out, now that I'm nearing the spot, now that I am encountering a light, now that I am responding? What do I need to do?" Answer, God. Here's what Saul said. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He wasn't trying to be cheeky. He wasn't being rude. He wasn't being arrogant. This wasn't Saul the persecutor saying, "You want a piece of me?" But I dare say, even if there was an arrogance there, God loved him. God was doing something. He was about to be changed forever. Let me tell you, sin will never roll over and die when being overwhelmed by the righteousness of God. But when it is overwhelmed by the righteousness of God, it does roll over and die. He answered the Lord. You need to answer God. Number 7, he received instructions. You know, one of the questions I get many times, and I'm sure that you've asked this question yourself, is, you know, I know that the Lord Jesus loves me, and I'm repenting of my sin, and I'm giving my life to him, but what am I going to do now? Don't worry about it. Here in this text, Jesus said to him immediately, "Saul, get up, go to this place and I'll tell you what to do. I'm just going to tell you what to do. God takes care of all of that. You know, it's coming up on 40 years ago for me. I remember arriving in New York City. Never been there with Karen, my young bride. I mean, here we are in a strange place, strange, no money and a couple of suitcases. What do we do? You know, it's easy to look back in your rearview mirror. But God says, just go and I'll take care of everything. Just follow my instructions. See, that's the part that we battle with. We battle with saying, Lord, I'll just follow you. I'll follow your instructions. And I love the eighth thing that happened to him. He was surrounded by friends. It's just, it's absolutely amazing. And by the way, it's so interesting to me that in the initial stage, God caused Saul to be blind. He closed his eyes. I've said to myself, why did he close his eyes? I have to think that perhaps Saul was one of those men that was so in control of himself. It's what I do. It's what I see. It's what I'm going to do. And I want you to know. And I want you to know. And if I don't like it, and you're going to this, and you toe the line, God said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to smite you with blindness. You're not going to be able to put one step in front of another, because I'm going to show you that from now on, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to take care of every step. And so what happened? He got up and was baptized. It's an amazing thing that happened here in verse 18. Right there, and immediately something like scales fell off his eyes. Bible said immediately he followed the Lord through believer's baptism, because he knew that what had happened was that he had come to the place of a complete, total, and utter identification in every way with the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what Jesus commanded him to do, and he did it. I am a Christian man. That's part of life change. I'm a Christian man. I've identified with everything that Jesus... And Paul later was the one who said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The scales came off. All of a sudden he could see, and the only thing he wanted to look into the face of was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what was the response? He was never the same again. That's what the rest of the story is all about. It's about a man just changed. I've seen that. You've seen that. We watch that all the time. I look out across this wonderful congregation today. I see just lives that have been changed. Change, 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 changed. I tell you, I've seen businessmen. I've seen housewives. I've seen doctors and nurses. And I've seen people from every walk of life come to know Christ. They're never the same again. They just changed. All of a sudden, there's an inner joy. There's a strength. There's a meaning. There's a purpose. There's a life. It's just changed. So that's why I want to invite you to give your heart to Jesus today.
It's time. It is your turn. And we stand ready to help you take the next step. Won't you give us a call? Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Are you ready to give your heart to Christ? Are you ready to come back to Christ? Well, before we get away, these could be the most important thoughts for our pastor coming up next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith.
In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If the Lord has spoken to you in these last few moments, whether it was with Dr. Wilton seconds ago or as he was preaching to our entire congregation, know this, God wants to make a change, to help you make a change in your life, to freshly launch a brand new decade here in a few days, on fire for Christ. Maybe it's time to come home to Jesus. However the Lord has spoken to you, let us pray with you. 866-899-WORD. We'll connect you with one of us. Happy to put some resources in your hand that'll help you grow. That's 866-899-9673. And online, you'll discover a number of ways to connect. We're social, you're social. Have you connected with us on social media yet?
In America today, more and more people are starving for the good news of the gospel. Can you for just a moment imagine this world without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine this country without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We as a nation must bring back the values and the core principles that we were founded on. That is where we need your help. I'm asking you to help the Encouraging Word plant more seeds in this barren soil that is our America by simply following and sharing encouraging words shared on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Friends, you never know how one encouraging message could change the life of someone who may desperately need it. The book of James tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I believe that for too long, we've heard without action. Thank you for your support for our social media platforms in sharing truth with the searching world.
Know that we're ready to connect with you every day, whether it's social media or the Daily Encouraging Word email. Are you getting that from Dr. Wilton yet? It's absolutely free. You can sign up online at tewonline.org. And every morning about 6 a.m., get a wonderful infusion of God's Word into your life. You can even sign up right now by texting the word DAILY to 30500. That's 30500. Text the word DAILY. We'll send you a quick link and you can sign up right away. Till next time, take care and God bless.
I'm so honored I can write you and be a part of the Encouraging Word each Sunday. Thank you with all of my heart. I'm a disabled widow and can't attend my local church. I've been watching you for a long time and receive awesome blessings from your sermons, and I love to sing along with the congregation in the choir. I especially am thankful you mentioned those of us watching by television, making us feel a part of your church family, even though we can't physically be present. Thank you so very much for the love and consideration you show to everyone. God bless you, Dr. Wilton. Your ministry gives me the strength to go on when I'm very discouraged because I live alone and hardly get out.